righty, guys. Welcome to Round 14 Podcast and Episode 14. How about that? Round 14, Episode 14.
We're doing all right. We're doing all right. And I see, Tony, you've got a new little background behind you.
I do. Mrs. Stallion, who was kind enough to let me use the bedroom wall as my Rocky stage, so to speak, said, okay, that's enough. Since Sophia is off in college, she was kind enough to let me use her room. She's not in here anymore.
Oh, so off to college. Nice. Yeah. Drink up, Sophia. Drink up.
I set it up in here, and I don't have to move anything. I don't have to set it all up every week. And
yeah, no, that's good.
I got some stuff that I did not have in the other room, so that's kind of cool. And I got to display some. Let's see. I moved my big fat head.
Yeah.
I got to display. Let's see here. Where am I at? I'm over here. I'm over there.
Yeah.
Okay, there. So I got the Carl Weathers glove up there now. And you can see Apollo figure there and the picture of us. And so I got some stuff up and gloves. Those are that's the Rocky II glove when he won.
Right.
And then the Toughwear, Rocky III and IV.
Right.
So yeah,
John Rivoli paintings there?
Yeah, I got John's, but that's my favorite one right there.
Yeah.
And then I have the one he calls Soulmates. This is very hard over here. I still have three more pieces of John's I got to get up on this wall, and I have plenty of space. So, over here, I have over here, I have more room, so I could push the camera back and
Be
able to see more. Anyway, enough about that. Your room looks better than mine anyway.
So. No, you know what? It looks great, and it's nice to have a space to do this.
My fat head is blocking the round 14 sign right there. That's right in the middle. I thought I'd put it in the middle.
Yeah,
I didn't think about my big fat head for the show, so I probably shouldn't put it where Stallion is.
Some great stuff from John Rivoli. Some great stuff from Rick Bob 33. So
good stuff there.
And and of course, right beside you, Rocky. Always always good to see that poster too.
Yeah, I still have the other posters. There's other stuff I can get up there. I mean, the walls aren't so big, so.
Yeah,
I don't have one of those mega rooms, you know. That's the ideal situation to have a Rocky gym / man cave.
Yeah. Anyway, I was looking at speaking of the Rocky picture behind you. You know, there's always that debate on which is the better movie, which is the better scene. I've said before, I might be wrong in this, but I have a hard time picking a Rocky movie when people ask me.
Yeah.
There's certain scenes that are so emotional in it, and I'm telling you, nothing more in Rocky and when Mickey climbs those steps and has to swallow his pride.
Yes.
And knock on that door and ask Rocky to be his manager. That's quite
how funny was it was after he gets booted out of his locker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mickey tells him he's a tomato.
Yeah.
You're a tomato.
Yeah.
That's one of the funniest lines in the whole movie.
Even before that, the first time we get introduced to Mickey, he's working with a boxer in the ring and Rocky taps him on the shoulder and shut up. You know, that's the very first line we ever get from Mickey.
Happy dude.
No, the climb up the stairs, he knows that he screwed up. He's got to talk to Rocky. And at this point, Rocky kind of airs it all out.
Oh, yeah. That's a great scene. I mean, an amazing scene, first of all, because it was done in one take. So right there alone, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. But second of all, the little hidden meanings, like you just said, climbing up the stairs.
Yeah.
You know, he has to climb this mountain to go get what he wants. It's not something that's really easy where you can just skate in there and get it. You know, Rocky saying how the place stinks, throwing the darts at the bathroom door. And, I mean, the picture that he takes out of his pocket to show Rocky – how he looked in his prime. It's such an amazing scene. Well acted by both, obviously, but the story that's told.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mickey's trying to make Rocky understand why he wants to help him. And he does want to help him a little bit vicariously, like he would have himself. He sees himself maybe in Rocky, that he could have went further. But also, too, I think it's a little, I don't want to say selfish, but maybe a little like, hey, this guy's going to fight the champ. I want to be a part of this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously they developed the relationship they developed.
Well, I think the two, what you touched on there is he sees a little bit of himself in Rocky and he realizes this may be Rocky's only shot. This may be his Mickey's last shot.
And it absolutely, so,
you know,
absolutely was. You know, he said to him too at the gym. He goes, "You got heart, but you fight like a goddamn ape."
Yeah.
So he sees and knows the good qualities of Rocky, and even if Rocky doesn't see it, and obviously he does later when he starts to train him. But yeah, Rocky airs it out and he yells at him and, you know, says to him, "Yeah, I got heart, but I ain't got no locker, do I, Mick?" You know?
Yeah. No, that, you know what?
That's a and little that
was,
there.
That was a little, you know, you got to stick that in. And I think it's important. If you're going to lay it on the line with somebody, your friends, your family, you know, you lay it all out. You lay out the truth.
Yeah.
And he wanted to make sure that he made that point clear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, the look on Mickey's face, he realizes, you know, he's right. He's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he let him, you know, Mickey leaves. And like I said, when Rocky, even the scene where he chases him down.
Yeah.
And, you know, he puts his arm around him. I'd like to hear that conversation or if there was the dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, I can only assume that he's saying, look, I had to get that out of me. You know, let's do this. And they shake hands. And, of course, the rest is history. But, you know, that's a pretty important scene in the Rocky franchise, right?
Oh God, yeah. Like you said, it's it develops the relationship first of all. It puts that relationship in motion. Of course, he develops the more fatherly relationship with him later on.
Mm-hmm.
But in the beginning, it definitely puts it in motion. And then, yeah, like when he runs downstairs and jogs after Mickey, Mickey's just shuffling along like this beaten old man. Like
yeah, defeated.
Yeah,
I like to say defeated, right?
Yeah.
And
puts his arm around. I like to think, something like that was like, look, you know, we had to do that. Got it off my chest. You got it off yours.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can do with this guy.
But you mentioned, you know, last week we talked about Rocky V and how the Tommy Gunn character didn't get developed and there was no backstory.
Mm-hmm.
This whole scene is kind of the, you know, you have that emotional connection with both characters all of a sudden, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you do. I mean, it definitely establishes, like I said, it establishes that relationship to move forward. It gave you reason to care about it. It gave you reason to want to see it succeed. And it didn't take, look how much it took. What was that? A 5-minute scene?
Yeah. That's right.
It wasn't long. It wasn't like it was half the movie.
Yeah.
So, but it was needed.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely needed because if he went in there and said, you know, Miles Jurgens is looking for sparring partners, and then he finds out he's offered the fight. Hey, let me manage you. Okay, that's a good idea. Let's do it.
Yeah,
it would have worked.
Yeah,
would have never worked.
No. I think you're right. The way they set the scene up, and these are Sly's words, right? Like Sly wrote all these lines,
word of it.
And it's just amazing. That's what amazes me that not only the good movie, and he fought to be in that movie, but he wrote the damn script, right? Every word.
3 days.
That's crazy, right?
That's insane. That's completely insane. Speaking of insane, we're going to talk about Rambo.
Another insane character.
Rambo's not insane, but
no.
He could have been. He might have borderline teetered on insanity.
Yeah. For Quad, he was a little bit insane.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Exactly. But he was a First Blood. Took place in during the Vietnam War era, right when all the troops were coming home. It looked like, they weren't being treated very kindly when they got home.
No,
not given jobs and whatnot, and baby killers and all that kind of stuff to them. Mm-hmm. You know, people that are living here with freedom doesn't really understand and comprehend what happened over there, and pretty much that's why John Rambo became who he was.
Right. And I'm certainly not an expert on the subject. Further than what I've seen or what I've read. But to my understanding, you are better to answer this question. People in Vietnam didn't have a choice, right? They were drafted.
Most
of them were.
There was very few. I mean, that I know of.
Yeah.
There was very few that enlisted. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of them that were drafted. And drafted right out of high school. It was 18-year-old kids. Yeah. The majority of them were 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. I mean, he said in Rambo that he went over.
Drafted Nam, yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, imagine that. 18 years old, you go to boot camp, and you're shipped off to, you know, Vietnam.
Yeah.
to fight somebody like Forrest Gump would say. We kept looking for this guy named Charlie. Like they had no idea what they were doing there.
Oh yeah, that was just all.
They had no idea what they were doing there. Good scene. Mm-hmm. I mean, they trained him. They trained him to know what he was doing.
Yeah.
And then he comes back thinking he's going to have a parade for him or a thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and mm-hmm. you got sheriffs running him out of town because he just wants to eat something. He looks like a vagrant.
Yeah, all he wanted was something to eat. Right?
That's it.
That's all he wanted.
That's all I wanted. Something to eat. Hmm. Couldn't leave it alone.
Nope. Kept pushing, right? Kept pushing. I give you a war you won't believe.
With some of the soldiers that come back, the vets that come back, I should say, you don't know what's going to push them over the edge. You don't know what they've seen. You don't know what's still up inside their head. Like we discussed already, obviously the PTSD and all that kind of stuff has taken a lot more spotlight to our veterans going off to war.
But certainly back in the 70s and 80s, that wasn't even considered when they came back.
No, that was that you went off to military and did your time or whatever it was why you were there and you came back and then you were supposed to get a job or whatever, maybe stay in the military.
Yeah.
But there was no working through all of that horror that you see or suicidal. Supposedly every 22 minutes or 22 seconds, there's a veteran suicide, supposedly. Right. I read something along those lines.
Yeah, that can't happen.
That's horrible. I mean, but that wasn't talked about or discussed, so who knows back then.
Yeah.
If Rambo could have got some help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, certainly I think in First Blood when he goes back and the first time we see him, right, in coming down Delmore Berry, it's the last guy in his unit, right? And he's gone. He's dead. So he's coming back. He can't get a job. He can't get respect. And the only hope he has is this last guy, and he's gone. And then we find out the very last guy is Troutman. So, you know, and he's already been pushed.
Well, if you think about the way that scene unfolds, he finds out that Barry's dead of cancer and from Vietnam, like the woman said, you know, so he's walking back from that house. All that's going through his head, thinking of, you know, all these guys are gone. His only family that he had, because they never touched base on any real family.
Yep.
And then the sheriff comes in and, you know, pushes the wrong buttons while his head's already rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if that was today, I mean, not that it can't happen, but a little more, you know, they have a lot more therapeutic help, counselor help, you know, medication, maybe whatever they need. Because like, you know, war is being in the military is one thing. Being in war is a whole other level. Yeah. My family is a lot of them have been in the military. My grandfather was in World War II. My uncle was in the Navy, but was shipped out to war, thankfully. And same thing with my brother. My brother was actually in the Navy and was sent stateside. Right before Iraq in 90.
Okay.
So he was here. So I don't really have any, you know, I never really discussed details with my grandfather about World War II. He never really talked about it. When you brought it up, it wasn't something that he seemed like he wanted to talk about. You know, cause he got a Purple Heart. I would ask him about the Purple Heart. Oh, yeah, they gave it to me, you know, gave it to my whole platoon, you know, and kind of blew it off.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't know what they see. And then and then we see movies that are military / war movies. And some of them kind of put you in the middle of it. And some of them show you some details of stuff. But again, you're only seeing it on screen. So it's very.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's right. And there's, I mean, obviously they, you know, has the Hollywood aspect to it or the Hollywood touch, you know, but some of them are pretty damn realistic.
Oh God, yeah.
Right.
A lot. I mean, they've come a long way from the old John Wayne military movies or the older ones, where now they're definitely made a little more realistic, a little more in detail of what was going on at that time period.
Mm-hmm. Even the Rambo franchise has evolved on screen, right? Like we talk about like First Blood was so good, but First Blood Part Two, it was, you know, bigger and, you know, a little bit I don't want to use the word cartoonish, but they're
yeah, a little more like a comic book, you know, type of,
you know,
war
G.I.
movie.
Joe, like we talked about.
Yeah, G.I. Joe.
You know, pulling these guns off the helicopters and rocket launchers. And but, you know, in Last Blood, it gets a little more, I don't want to say realistic, but it, because he's older.
I know what you're saying, though, because it does get a little more realistic, almost, so to speak. Yeah. It's less comic.
Because you're dealing with the cartels and you're dealing with real life situations that we can relate to.
And you're also dealing
news.
with the mental aspect of it more than I can beat you up aspect.
That's right.
He has these booby traps set up. He's all these different things that he's doing and that obviously because of his age, but also too, he was taught probably when he was 18 to do this stuff.
Yep. That's right.
So it's but yeah, it's the movies have come far from the old ones. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of the old ones. I've probably seen the 80s is probably maybe late 70s when I started catching up on some war movies.
Yeah.
But they have some good ones. I mean, that movie with Three Kings.
Oh yeah.
With George Clooney, and that's when they find the gold. Saddam Hussein.
Mark Wahlberg,
gold.
Right?
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg. They found out that Hussein's gold treasure is kept somewhere, and they're going to try to take it. And I mean, come on. I'm sorry. There's no way in the planet those guys were over there and saw all the riches of that palace and didn't take a little souvenir for themselves.
little keepsake is what you're saying?
Yeah, you know they came home with a little something. And that's okay. They earned it.
That's right.
That movie was crazy, though. That was a different type of war movie.
Yeah, that was.
Because it was it didn't really show you the war. It was more about that little plot that they wanted to
keep that gold. And like I said, it was original storyline, right?
Yeah.
Because it's so often, I don't want to say, like some movies get clumped together or too similar. This was very different, right? So like you said, the storyline was very different. And that's what captures me with some movies. It's like, okay, that's a different storyline. It may not be the best movie, but the storyline is different and unique, and we haven't seen it before. So Three Kings really touched on that.
Agreed. And then, I mean, then you could touch based on like a realistic storyline, like the Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
And that one was, you know, that's realistic. I mean, these guys are risking their lives out there defusing bombs.
Yeah.
And that's just something that I can't comprehend. That's your job. To diffuse that.
Yeah.
See the outfit. I mean, the whole suit they put on and but that was another movie. And that was a little more of a mental movie.
Right.
Where it got into your head. Mm-hmm. It was a little more of that. Definitely not of a original story type of thing like Three Kings was. But it still had told a very good story. And it was a good film.
Yeah.
I like Jeremy Renner. He does a nice job.
Yeah, he sure did.
We have another one up, American Sniper, Mr. Bradley Cooper, and he played the world's deadliest sniper.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the most lethal sniper, I think they call them, a distance sniper. And that was based on true story. Mm-hmm. So obviously a little Hollywood drama in there
the background is where I know where you're going with that, where they get from.
Yeah. But the whole background, like I said, the underlining story of it is true.
Mm-hmm.
It's just these guys were like Rambo. He was trained to kill. That's his job. His job is to hide somewhere miles away and take out a target.
Mm-hmm.
That's his job. And that's what he trains for every single day and hours a day and to achieve that. That's
makes what we're doing here pretty damn easy.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. You know, I mean, I don't want to sit here. Everybody has their –
Yeah.
I'm definitely not going to get political. I never do.
No. And we certainly won't on this podcast.
I appreciate my freedom.
Yeah.
Every day I thank the military.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not about to sit there and criticize anybody coming back from war or from a long stint in the military and now they're going to be a civilian life and you're going to give them crap.
Yeah.
You're going to give them a hard time.
Yeah.
But
Thank a military member. Doesn't matter if it's Veterans Day, Memorial Day, Remembrance Day.
I mean, you don't have to be crazy about it and thank every single one. But I mean, you thank them here and there when you see them, when you feel the time is fitting.
Yep.
Buy them a cup of coffee here and there. If somebody's behind you, you know, pick up their coffee.
Pay it forward, we call it here in Canada.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I've done that a handful of times. We've got military guys behind me. I put their coffee on mine.
Yeah,
absolutely. What's it going to cost me? $5? I mean, yeah. So what? It's
pretty, it's just awesome. Awesome to do. So
next up after American Sniper, we had Zero Dark 30.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one here, based on true story.
Yep.
So based on true story, and it was done by the people that did The Hurt Locker.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little similar in the way it was filmed and told.
Yeah.
But this one was more so about the Bin Laden, getting Osama Bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in your face.
Well,
it's
intense. It certainly the storyline hits close to home, right?
Sure.
For not only, you know what, I'm Canadian, you're American, our borders are right beside each other. For the whole, both sides of the border, this one hit close to home, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And these stories, based on true stories, but, you know, a little bit of Hollywood added in. But
of course.
They're important stories to hear, to see as well, right? So,
I agree. I mean, you see certain films like that one or American Sniper. You know, I mean, if you're mm-hmm. teaching a history class, I mean, that can be part of the homework to see these types of films because it really shows you a lot and teaches you a lot. And, of course, you know, the accuracies, it depends on, I guess, who you talk to.
Yeah.
But it does give you the basis of it, mm-hmm. of what the film was about. Another one that took place during that same time period was Black Hawk Down.
Yeah. Yeah, this one was – I don't want to say I had a hard time getting through it, but – not because it wasn't a good movie, just because it was so emotional, right? Mm-hmm. Like it was like the ending of it, and it was just really well done. Like you are invested in these characters,
yeah,
right? And yeah. that's where I want to clear up that I had a hard time because it was so realistic. These movies are so in your face and in your mind, and you know by the end of it, you're almost yelling for them to get help.
And that's how you know a movie's done well, written well, filmed well, directed well, produced well. When you're doing that, when you're yelling or getting emotional, or really almost like you're watching real life, you're stopping to do. I mean, that's how you know you're really invested,
mm-hmm.
where you've had that kind of feelings for the character.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And that's where it really gets you.
Yeah, if you're watching a movie and you fall asleep. You're probably not going to watch it again.
Especially if it's a war movie. And
exactly, right. But you know what? I remember Black Hawk Down being, I'm just thinking, Jesus, like this is just, wow. It was good. Good stuff.
I agree. Let's see. The oldest movie in our list here. And again, guys, this is the best movie. This is number six. These are just 10 films that we thought were the ones mentioned that are war military movies. I'm mm-hmm. sure I know we forgot some.
Oh, yeah.
And you could put those down there. Maybe we'll touch base on those another time.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the oldest one in the group, and this one's The Deer Hunter.
Yep.
With Robert De Niro. Now, it starts off, you don't really – it's not much of a war movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely turns into one based during the Vietnam era again.
Yep.
Robert De Niro, Christopher Walken, anybody that has already seen it. Now, again, this movie's – 45 years old.
Yeah. So guys, come on. Yeah. We're not spoiling it for you.
Yeah. I mean,
the younger generation, but you know what? Ask your parents or ask your grandfather. And it's just a, you know,
I mean, if you think you're going to watch it, let's put it this way. Yeah, if you think you're going to watch it and you have,
you're going to watch it,
then pause us and fast forward us and we'll,
You know what? Before we talk about it though, is there anything that Robert De Niro can't do?
No.
Like, no, there's not. My God, we're going to have to do a whole episode on him because, like I said, we put up The Deer Hunter. Like, it's just everything he does.
You just name a movie. And comedy, just like Sly Stallone did comedy.
Well,
he did Analyze This, Analyze That. Exactly. He did
Meet the Parents. Walkers.
And, crazy.
And like, he's even in Grudge Match, he was kind of comedic, right?
Yeah.
Like, he can play these roles. He can obviously play Casino and Goodfellas and like he can do Copland. It all. Copland, he can do it all. Like
he can.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump in there, but you know I drift off.
that's what we do.
We're drifters. No, I just every time, doesn't matter what movie you put up, I'm going to go, Jesus, that was a good movie. Yeah. You know, and when we do Robert De Niro, please do not crucify us for the order we put them in. Because every one of them could be number one.
You can't. There's no, there's, it's impossible to say this is his number one movie.
Yeah. These are, you know, we'll do it, folks. It's yeah, just,
we will.
It's just a matter of.
Maybe that might even be our next episode. We'll
see. It was, it's so
good. But this
good,
one here, yeah. I mean, when you watch the roulette scene, you know, and he's a method actor. I mean, so he's so good. But the film really depicts and shows you some prisoner of war stuff that you didn't see before.
No, that's right.
So it was very intense, and especially when it came out. It only came out like a few years after the Vietnam War ended.
Yeah.
So it was pretty fresh.
Yeah.
In people's minds and in vets' minds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little hit home there for those.
Yep.
And then we got the heavy hitters are coming up here that everybody knows. Oh,
God, yeah.
Everybody mentions. These are the four that anybody that talks about war military movies.
They bring it up.
This four are in that talk.
Yeah. One of these is coming up.
Yeah. So the first one's Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah. I can, you know, first of all, I apologize for people listening on the network. I can hear this picture right now.
Yeah. So you know, the picture we have now is when the drill sergeant is marching in the barracks, rifles are in their hands, and they're chanting.
Yeah.
Doing their cadence.
Yeah.
And that movie there, man, it's that whole boot camp.
Yeah.
Which is like the first half hour of the movie or whatever it was.
Might even been longer. Maybe 40 minutes.
Might have been an hour. Yeah. I don't remember. Yeah.
It was and that's the thing we talked about. You don't even realize if it's 5 minutes or 20 minutes or 40 minutes. It's
not like if it's good.
You're in. Like it was, I think it was 5 minutes and I'm like, I ain't going anywhere.
Not if it's good. If it's good, you don't ever look at your watch.
No.
When the lights come on in the theater, you're like, holy crap, already?
Yeah, I wanted a little bit more. No, it was
that
so
one there.
Good.
That's one of the pinnacles of the war military.
And I'm pretty sure that drill sergeant has been on his rants or insults have been used millions of times over in. Whether they're people are reciting lines or they're making jokes, you know, it's one of those movies that people talk about still.
Right? Yeah, and then the drill sergeant there is R. Lee Emery, and he was he was in the military. He was in the Marines for a very long time, and they actually only used him as a consultant, a military consultant for the film, and. He was showing them how to do it, and they were just like, "No, you're doing it. We're gonna
do
it.
Yeah,
you know, this is not."
Well, it's almost. I don't want to say it's impossible because there's so many good actors that do it, but it's like we've talked about other movies where when we did the sports movies with Miracle, you can't recapture that, right?
Right.
So
right. Comes close.
You have the guy do it and. Look at how it turned out, right?
I mean, it depends. I mean, this other movie that we're not mentioning on the list today, but Officer and a Gentleman.
Yeah.
My grandfather, who I mentioned earlier, was in World War II, and he was a drill sergeant. Mm-hmm. He was a drill sergeant for, I think, 6 to 8 years. And then when he went off after that. But he said that Louis Gossett Jr.'s performance as a drill sergeant in that film was about as accurate as you could get.
Yeah. And that's awesome when you can – when you have somebody that has experienced it and they can say, that was bang on, you know, this was.
Cause I mean, I asked him about it when we saw it, I was like, you see that? And he said, yeah. I go, how realistic was that drill sergeant? Was he really like that? Were you like that?
Yeah.
He goes, he's about damn close. So, all right. And he was not a drill sergeant, obviously.
Yeah.
Louis Gossett Jr. So he portrayed it well. R. Lee Emery was, so he knows what to do and what to say.
Yeah. And he said it. Believe me, he said it and more in this in that movie.
Yeah, that's another one. That's another intense movie that
even if you haven't seen that in a while, go back and watch.
Especially the barrack scenes, like the boot camp scenes. That's really intense. One after that, again, not in any order, guys, is Apocalypse Now. Right there, we have the poster up with Martin Sheen coming out of the water there.
Yeah.
And next to him, we have the famous Robert Duvall
Yeah.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Smells like victory. All righty then. But that movie, another one, another, again, more of a cerebral movie mm-hmm. where it really touched you, hits yeah. you hard. And that one came out, again, not too long after Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like it was done 20 years later or something.
No, it was 74 or 75?
That was later than that. I think it was almost okay. like 77 or something, okay. maybe. Right. I don't really remember. Sorry, I'm not prepared for that. I could look it up real quick.
No, I just I know it's mid to late 70s, right? So, okay.
Yeah.
No, like I said, some amazing scenes in those and the lines, of course. So
79.
There you go.
Almost 80.
Okay. A little later than I thought.
So, but still, it's probably about 4 years, you know, give or yeah. take. I mean, it was later than I thought, too.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that late.
You learn something every day, right? So
you're supposed good. To. That's what they say. Okay, so then after Apocalypse Now, I'm sorry, is Platoon.
Right.
Platoon was probably one of the first war movies that really dug deep into being in it.
Right.
In war and in mm-hmm. the military and in, you know, in the seeing the shooting of people that were innocent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the men and children that were getting bombed
mm-hmm.
from planes and stuff like that. The stuff they didn't show you in other films.
Right.
So that was definitely a little more of a sensitive movie. Mm-hmm. Won Best Picture, of course. Great film. And then last on the list, or first on the list, I should say. I don't know. Which is, if you haven't seen it, please do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen it, fast forward to the next few minutes.
But let me just stop you there for a second. If you haven't seen it and you're about to see it, be prepared for the first 15 minutes.
It's about first 15 minutes, and it's actually Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
And it's Normandy, D-Day.
Yeah. Because when they open those boats,
so it's
as real as it gets.
Second, the boat
yeah.
lands on shore.
Yeah.
And that second for the next 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
With a buddy of mine. And I heard bullets whipping by my head.
Right.
I mean, the sound, surround sound. And
mm-hmm.
and we didn't say a word to each other.
No.
We were just staring there, jaws dropped.
Yeah.
Watching the whole scene
mm-hmm.
unfold. And then just looked at each other and was like, holy Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the beginning. Exactly.
I think everybody had that reaction, was just like, did that just happen? Like, but it did, and that's exactly, you know, again, I can't say from experience, yeah. but to me, from what I've heard, what I've read, what I've seen,
yeah.
they nailed that. They nailed
it. I've heard it from numerous people. I've seen numerous
yep.
interviews and research and stuff. Veterans talked about it. World mm-hmm. War II veterans talked about it, on how realistic it was. Doors dropped. First four guys in the row are dead.
Yeah.
You know, yep. within seconds. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just crazy. It's mm-hmm. crazy. I couldn't imagine it. But, yeah, they said it was about as realistic and accurate as you could get.
Yeah.
This yeah. scene, anyway. Of course, later on in the movie, you know, it's a story that's not based on a true story,
mm-hmm.
But it's a good story.
Yeah.
And does show you the rest of war as well.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing film.
Very yeah, good. Yeah, and like I said, cinematography is unreal because you are just – You feel like you're in that boat.
Right? Oh God, yeah.
And
especially when I was in the theater. I mean, I just yeah. around, like I said, all you heard yeah. was like bullets whipping by, and then the bombs go. It was just, mm-hmm. it was amazing,
mm-hmm.
amazing. And I mean, you know, of course, it's a war, but
yeah.
it was unbelievable. But yeah, guys, I know we missed probably missed 10 mm-hmm. out of the 10 we chose. I'm sure we have 10 others out there that how could you not have this one?
Yeah,
it's not. It's not that type of list, and mm-hmm. you know, if there was a bunch that we missed, let us know.
Yeah,
or one that you feel strongly about, we could talk about as well.
Yeah, for sure. Drop us a line or on our Instagram page. You know, say hey, what about this movie and what about that movie, or tell us what you thought of our list.
If you have comments about our list, exactly. Yeah, let us know about that. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. We hear some comments about. Yeah, you agree or yeah, you disagree.
Yeah, because it's, you know, you take those 10 movies I'm sure that everybody has one or two or a couple more that are thinking, yeah, that was a really good movie. Like, that was a really good movie. You know, they said, Tony, just we grabbed these and we went with them because they're so good to talk about.
Yeah, agreed. Good stuff, as always. Mm-hmm. What about some trivia? Want to do trivia? Want to wait?
Yeah, sure. Will we do a little trivia here?
Little questions? What's your favorite scene? You love that. You want to get the skates on. I know you do.
Tell you, we're going to film it one time. And
oh, my goodness. Oh, then you got to film me in the hospital.
Yeah. It's going to be
great. I look like that kid that Rocky autographed his head when he booked.
Oh, yeah. That, you know what? That's going to be awesome. So
full body cast.
Don't let this go to your head. So, no.
All right. So you want me to go first? You want to go first?
Yeah, go ahead. Fire one off.
All right. All right here. So my first one, I got five of the military war movies, and they were ones we mentioned.
Sure. So see if I was paying attention.
Number one, they're not super hard, but they're definitely not a gimme.
Yeah.
But we'll see. So first one is the Saving Private Ryan question.
Okay.
Okay. The character that Tom Hanks played towards the end of the film, what did he whisper to Matt Damon when Matt Damon was shot? God. I mean, when Tom Hanks was shot, sorry.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank. Like I said, I remember the movie.
Whole entire thing was because of Private Ryan.
Yeah.
They went to save Private Ryan. Yeah. So what did he tell him?
I think he said, come on. I think he said, you're safe now. I don't know.
He said, earn this.
Yeah.
Earn this. Think about it. I mean, the lives that were lost and all the stuff that happened just to get them.
Yeah.
All right. So go ahead. What do you got? What do you got? Right.
Well, since we talked Rocky and Mickey, I thought I would go back and do some of this.
I was getting nervous when you asked me Rocky.
Well, I'm going to give you a really easy one here.
I'm not really easy.
I'm going to give you really easy. Okay. What was the name of the girl that Rocky walked home in Rocky?
Come on.
I told you it started with an easy one.
No, Little Marie. All right.
Little Marie. There you go.
Atomic Hoagie Shop.
All right. There you go. Good. Well, I had to pick a question from the book. All right.
We'll give you a little bit harder.
All right. I'll give you a harder one next time. Warm you up.
Okay. So in Full Metal Jacket, remember the one cadet they nicknamed Gomer Pyle?
Yep.
What was the name of his rifle?
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to go for five tonight.
All right. You know what? I'll give you multiple choice. How about that?
All right. Yeah. I like multiple choice.
Was it Carrie Ann?
Yeah.
Christina or Charlene?
I think it was Charlene.
You got it.
There you go. Yeah. Multiple choice. That's the way I go. That's my whole life.
That's all I have to do from now on.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. So, see, you got one.
So, once I heard it, like I said, it's been a while since in the movie.
You heard him say it.
As soon as you said it, I was like, now I know.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. You wanted a little harder one.
A little bit harder than Marie. Okay. Come on.
All right. Let's see here. You know Rocky's so good. All right. How many eggs does Rocky put in a glass when he wakes up in the morning?
Ooh.
How about that one?
Hey. I know. That is a good one, see? And I used to actually know that, like I could have answered it already, but now I'm second guessing myself. Mm-hmm. Six.
Six. Well, and the answer, of course, is last week I got one of the answers wrong, so I'm going to get the actual answer. The actual answer is five.
See, and I second guessed myself. Yeah, I was going to say five.
I should have given you multiple choice.
See, I used to know five like that, and now I was like, five, wait, that doesn't sound right.
Well, that's why I started you off with an easy one.
See, made me feel good with a little break. All right.
I built up your confidence before I broke it.
Number three. All right. In the Apocalypse Now question, the famous helicopter scene.
Yeah.
Where they're coming over the horizon there.
Mm-hmm.
What song is playing?
Oh,
what classical song
is playing? I knew you were going to ask me that question, and I...
And everybody knows it. Dun, 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 dun,
I should have... It's... can I just say it's Mozart? Is that too generic?
Name of the song.
Yeah.
Come on. You got it.
I'm so bad. You know, if my wife
can't give you multiple choice.
No, she would nail this. She would nail this song. I don't know. I know I can hear the song,
but
I
don't know. Ride of the Valkyries.
Okay, I wouldn't have got. You know what? I'm sorry. I apologize. I wouldn't have got it. If you play it, I can tell you what movie it's from.
Right.
And people say, "What song is it?" I don't know, but I know what movie it's from.
A lot of songs too that people do.
Yeah, I take songs, and I was talking to a friend about this the other night, and I take songs, and it takes me right to a movie.
Sure.
It takes me right to a scene. And I feel bad because somebody will say, that's this group. And I'm like, no, that's Rocky III. Or that's Apocalypse Now. And they're like, yeah, but there was – sometimes it's made for those movies.
Right.
But most of the time it's a song that – was already
used in they've the used film. It. Right, exactly.
And I'm so guilty of saying, oh, there's the Goonies. Yeah. I hear the Goonies. And they're like, no, that's Cyndi Lauper. That's not – I'm like, well, it was in the Goonies. So
it's still the Goonies to me.
Yeah, all right. Let me see if I can, if I can get you again here. Okay. No, that one's really too easy. Okay.
You probably thought the eggs was easy too, so.
Yeah.
be careful what I wish for.
Yeah. Okay. At what age did Rocky start fighting at?
Start fighting?
Start fighting. When did he start to fight?
Now I got to do some math. Let me see here. He was almost 30 in Rocky because he said he's 29 years old. You're almost 30.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming there for 6 years. So 23?
Nope. He actually started at 15.
Where does it say that? Well, besides Rocco's book.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And I believe we'll have to go back and look at this, but it might have been when he was talking in the rink because he wasn't skating. And okay. He said he stopped skating because of his ankles, right?
Yeah, that might be.
You remember he talked about, she says, aren't you skating? He goes, no, I stopped skating. It was bad for the ankles when I started fighting. So.
Yeah, I'll have to watch that scene now.
So, yeah. So, 15. Anyways,
all 15. Right. I'll go for it.
How do you like them apples?
That's good. You got me two now. See? I only got one.
Mm-hmm.
And so did you. You only have one. Okay. So, this is...
thanks for bringing that up.
This is number four. Tied. One more.
I know. That's good. It's
all right. Number four.
Look, I'm telling you, people, we don't cheat on these.
Obviously.
No.
Who cheats to not get it right?
That's right.
All right, number four is a true or false question.
Come okay.
50% odds here.
I like my odds.
Okay. Charlie Sheen's character in Platoon was based on the true events in Vietnam on Whose Life?
On Whose Life?
All right, I'll even give you.
Well, that's not a true or false question.
I'm sorry. See that? I didn't finish reading it.
Okay, there you go.
On Oliver Stone's real life.
Oh, okay.
Based on Oliver Stone's real life. True or false?
That's false.
That's true.
Is it really?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, Oliver Stone, the whole movie was shown from his eyes in Vietnam, which was technically the Charlie Sheen's character. Yeah.
Like you said, we will teach you things on this show
that
you didn't know before. And that's good. That's a good one.
All right. All right. So last one for me.
Okay.
And then I got one more for you.
Okay. Last one for you is I'll find it here in my book. Okay. All right. True or false? I'll give you a true or false question.
Ooh, I like that.
Rocky is holding dumbbells at the start of his run to the steps.
When he's
training for Rocky. You know,
the original
Rocky.
Okay.
When he starts his run and, you know, he ends at the, you know, there's the montage.
Mm-hmm.
And when he starts out, he's holding, something in his hand. So true or false, he's holding two dumbbells as he starts to run. Not the very first morning.
Right. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but when they do the montage.
We're gonna fly now came on.
Right. Yeah. True or false?
I'm going to say true.
The answer is false.
See, he's holding
bricks. And he probably couldn't afford dumbbells.
That's right. Right? That's right. That's so, good. Good job, Rocco.
Rocco, I'm telling you right now, buddy.
Good job.
Great job on that book.
Yeah. All right, last one I have for you.
Okay.
This one should be fairly easy.
All right.
Okay. What war just ended when it was the filming of the Three Kings in the movie? Mm-hmm. What war was it based on ending?
I think it was the Gulf War.
That is correct.
Hey, look at that.
See that? See, so you won. See, you won 2-1. And, that's how bad we are.
2-1. Just squeaked it out.
You did.
It's like overtime.
Oh, that's funny. That's too funny. That's great. See, like you said, we just have fun with it.
Oh, you know what? You know what? I'm surprised it wasn't 0-0.
I know.
No, right? I'm just kidding. You know what? There were some good questions, and it just proves that I've got to go back and watch, you know, some of those movies.
Some of them, yeah.
They're not to do the trivia. It's just I forgot that scene. You know, I remember him whispering that stuff. When you give me the choice and like you said with the gun and he makes his name, and once I heard it, I'm like, okay. I remember it right off the bat, but no, that was
fun. If anything's worth watching, it's always worth watching twice.
Speaking of worth watching, we were treated. It's all everybody straight to streaming Friday night. Friday morning. It was midnight. So I got up 12:01 and put on Prime. And for the release of Samaritan, right?
Yeah, I watched it twice already.
Yeah.
Well, actually three times now by the time we recorded. I watched it twice on the Friday it came out, mm-hmm. and then I watched it again Saturday night.
Yeah. So, you know what?
I liked it.
We're not going to talk about it right yet.
No.
It's only been out for a few days.
Yeah, too soon. Too soon.
I'm going to tell you right now, this was a totally different twist on a superhero.
Yeah.
Right?
Agreed.
The way we can describe it, Tony and I can describe it, and I don't want to speak for Tony. He can do that himself. This is something different, right? This was highly anticipated. Sly has once again brought something to the table, a different story, and I think we can both agree that we both really liked it.
Yeah, it was very good. It was very well done. Like you said, different take on it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't your typical superhero film. Mm-hmm. So we won't go much into it. We're not going to go any into it, really. I shouldn't say much. We'll talk about that maybe another week or two. Let people get to watch it.
Yeah. And I like the fact that I seen an interview and he said, I think it was, you know, we put it right to stream. They had the release in New York City. They had a screening where he showed up. How cool was that, right?
Saw that, yeah.
Like, that would have been a huge surprise. And I also want to thank, on behalf of Tony and I, we posted that, and Sly, he reposted that in his story.
In his story.
So, Mr. Stallone, from Tony and I, from Round 14, we thank you very much.
Yeah, that was
pretty cool. That was quite a shock. I used some of those creative letters in my text to Tony.
I was busy that morning at work. Language. I had a lot going on.
And
I see this text from you. I'm like, oh, boy.
The profanity was flying, I tell you.
Yeah, no, and, it was not PG-rated. That's okay.
We were grateful that he had reposted our little clip. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to be on your radar, Sly. It really is. I hope you enjoy the show. If you're watching it, I hope you are watching it.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoy the content. And we've said this numerous times before, so we won't, you know, bore you again by saying it again. But we do appreciate it very much.
And,
so
it's and pretty cool. I think we all appreciate that you continue to provide us with new stories, with different stories. And you have entertained us for years, and you continue to do so with Samaritan and soon to be the Tulsa King. So
I'm really looking forward to that. Not that I wasn't looking forward to Samaritan, you know, any less, but the Tulsa King just is more up. I'm really looking forward to that type of story.
Now, I think is it November 13th? it comes out?
I believe so. It's either
you know what? You know what I just seen today, and it's kind of interesting. The new season of Kevin Costner's Yellowstone drops the same day. Now, it's the same person. Taylor Sheridan.
Yeah,
but that's
November 15th. It's a 2-hour premiere.
That's going to be a hell of a night
of season five. Yeah.
If you have not
watched Yellowstone, we could touch base on that too for an episode.
Yeah, you know, maybe we'll break down the first season or some of the earlier episodes. Right?
I mean, it's good. It's
really I had to catch up on Yellowstone, and I'm telling you, it didn't take me long because. I found myself watching one or two.
We say we're going to watch a couple before we go to bed. Next thing I know, we're on like 8 episodes. Oh, yeah. Season 2's over. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's nice. You know, they're smart. The streaming services are smart because when you play an episode and it's over, well, the next episode starts in 5 seconds. Yeah. I didn't even have time to get up and get a drink.
I know. Like, so you youngsters don't know what it's like to have to wait till next week.
Mm-hmm.
For the show to come back on again.
Now that's if you're binge watching. But we didn't have to, the night. And the other cool thing is the youngsters don't know is if you want to watch that episode again, you didn't have to rewind it. You know?
Yep.
So, that was, we're old, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. They're probably like, so what? Shut up, old
people. Yeah.
Yeah. Deal with it.
Oh, this is fun. This is a fun episode.
No, it was always a fun episode with you, my brother. I appreciate you. It's a good time, and we have a lot of ammunition for the next few episodes. So,
oh yeah, absolutely.
Sounds like it's going to be good stuff. Looking forward to it.
There's a lot in the bank, and we like hearing from some messages, and we appreciate the support. We appreciate being on the network. We're on the Last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network.
Yeah, I let you say that because I haven't mastered that yet. I'll mess that up. So
I have it written on the back of the. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, Ryan. I appreciate being on there.
He has us on Apple Radio, iTunes, or Apple. You know, it's
I went YouTube to work the other morning everywhere. And I listened to one of our other podcasts that was on there, and some great podcasts on there.
Good stuff.
I was listening to some One More Round on the network. They, you wanted to break down a Rocky movie. I think they're only at Mickey's apartment. You know what I mean? They've been talking Rocky for 10 episodes.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So it's great.
That's a real dissection. It's good stuff.
Yeah. And, no, it's great. Yeah. And, this was fun. So,
of course.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you watching. We'll see you guys next week.
Okay. See you guys.